Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. These are God's words. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. I wonder if any of you remember, or maybe have ever been taught or read, the significance of the word remember in Ephesians 2, verse 11. It is the only imperative, the only command verb in all the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. And it is a command verb that says to remember. The first three chapters of Ephesians are all instruction, all theology. There are going to be lots of commands in chapters 4 through 6. But the only one in the first three chapters is a command to remember. Command to respond to certain truths. There are four truths, at least here, that we are to respond in order to walk well in those good works that verse 10 has just finished saying God has prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. And those four things are creation, commonwealth, covenant, and Christ. Now, we could have used Christ for all four, because it is a creation that is in Christ. We were born, we came into this world dead in our trespasses and sins, and we have been created in Christ Jesus. We are His workmanship, as we heard last week. And He sets His workmanship now over against our workmanship. It says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, once belonging to the rest of the nations, the whole rest of the world who are in their flesh, just like He had told them, you once walked according to the course of this world. Verse 2, and the prince of the power of the air, who is at work in this, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So He says, you were once in your flesh and belonged to the rest of the world. We're just like the rest of the world. And He says, you know who else belongs to the rest of the world? Those whose circumcision was done in the flesh. Those whose circumcision was only something done by human hands. The scriptures tell us, circumcise your heart as a command. But it's a command that we can't keep. So they also tell us that God will circumcise our heart. So if our circumcision or our baptism or any other part of our Christianity, circumcision not being a part of Christianity, but baptism or any other part of our Christianity is merely something that we do in our own flesh, in our own wisdom, in our own strength, trusting what we do to make it effective, then it is as useless as the circumcision of those Judaizers who would look down at the Gentiles and say, you uncircumcision. That's what He is talking about. The people who would call them the uncircumcision, but the way they called them the uncircumcision showed that they were proud of themselves. That their own sign, which was supposed to be a sign from God about supernatural work that God would do by His grace in sinners, to give us new life, to cut away the dull covering of the heart and give us fleshly hearts, to shed blood that would atone for our sin. Circumcision was a wonderful sign. But it could end up being something that they did in their flesh, something they were proud of doing, and they trusted in their doing it to make the difference. He says, no, you don't trust in what you're doing. Yes, you've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, but you trust in the new creation work of Jesus. So, first thing there to remember is creation. That it depends entirely on the recreated, the new creation work of God. That's the first thing we're to remember as we, in order to walk well in the good works that God has prepared before. And the second thing to remember is commonwealth. That God has taken us from belonging to the rest of the world and made us to belong to a community of saints. That whatever else we have in common, the thing we have most in common is that we are gathered together unto God. We are the commonwealth of Israel. We belong to Him. And so we are, as he says, as you go to church every week, dear Ephesians, and you look around and you see all the different kinds of people that are there and have many things that they don't have in common, but the one thing they all have in common is that they've been gathered from the world. And so they are to be holy as a holy assembly set apart unto God. This doesn't work very well if we try and divide up our churches into different churches that have other things primarily in common. And you don't even have to try to do that. We naturally gravitate to that. And so it is good and healthy for us to be from different walks of life and to have other things that we don't have in common, but that the main thing that we have in common, regardless of whatever else we have in common, is that we belong to Christ. And so remember that you and I ought to have been doing love and good works Monday through Saturday. Why? Because we're going to show up on another Lord's Day, not having forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. And what are we to be doing in that worship and in that fellowship on the Lord's Day, having assembled together, stirring up one another to more love and good works? And we get together in our commonwealth, having this common interest and this common purpose and this common pleasure that God has given us with one another. And we say, let us love God and serve God this week. And here's how we've been loving and serving God, and we celebrate that together. So we're to remember creation in Christ, commonwealth in Christ, and also covenant in Christ. Because we're not just bound to one another, not just the commonwealth of Israel, but he goes on to say in verse 12, remember that you were strangers from the covenant of promise. But when God created you new in Christ Jesus, and God gathered you into the commonwealth of his people, he didn't just bind us to one another. He bound us to him. And you can hear that even in this plural, strangers from the covenants of promise. That God has at different times gathered those who are trusting in Christ Jesus, who are being justified by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. It's the only way anyone has ever been made right with God. But he has at times gathered them to himself, bound them to himself by certain promises and certain obligations. He makes promises and he lays obligations. And there is Abrahamic covenant, and even before that, Noahic covenant, and the Mosaic covenant, and the Davidic covenant. None of them were different ways of being saved. None of them were different churches. We are one church throughout the ages. And yet, God places special obligations on that covenant community, that he binds himself to them in a particular way, and he binds that community to himself in a particular way. So our obligations as members of the church aren't just to one another, but he's invested his name in us. He has bound himself to us. Remember
That God has not only bound you to one another, that you ought to be able to stir one another up to love and good works. Next time we gather on the next Lord's Day, Lord willing, but that you have been bound to God. He has invested his honor in the earth in how you conduct yourselves. Now that would be terrifying if he hadn't also made covenant promises to his church to do everything with a special eye towards and for the good of that covenant people. So he says, remember you're a new creation in Christ, not made in the flesh by hands, but by the power of Christ. Remember that you have been brought into the commonwealth of God's people. Remember that God has bound you to himself and you are no longer a stranger to the covenants of promise, but you have hope and you have God in the world. And remember, and we chose Christ because union doesn't start with a C. Remember union with Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Remember that your being a new creation is something that has been given to you by being bound to Jesus Christ, united with God the Son himself, who became a man that he might be our great high priest, that we might be found in him, represented in him, bound to him. And so all the other three, like we said, could be Christ, right? Because it is in union with Christ that we are created new. Our union or unity with one another comes especially by virtue of our union with Christ. Our being bound to God is especially in Christ. Now, that has always been true in terms of how you are made right with God by believing in Jesus Christ and being counted righteous for his sake. But now, the commonwealth of God's people on earth and that people with whom God has, to whom God has bound himself and whom God has bound to himself, that covenant people on earth is actually led by Christ personally from heaven. That this is the administration over which Moses isn't just faithful in the house, but over which Christ is faithful, for which Christ is faithful over the house. We are united to Jesus. So we are to remember creation, commonwealth, covenant, and especially union with Christ. And those are the four things that he gives us under the one command in the first three chapters of Ephesians. So when we find ourselves not walking in the good works which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, the apostle, the Holy Spirit, by the apostle, comes to us and he says, remember these things. Call these things back to mind. Dwell upon them. You've been created new in Christ. You've been gathered into the commonwealth of God's people. You have been bound to God in covenant, and he has bound himself to you in covenant. And you are in Christ Jesus. You've been brought near to God in Christ Jesus and by the blood of Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you for your glorious grace, that it is by grace that we are saved through faith, both in our justification, which is only by what Jesus has done, and also in our sanctification, where you, by these many helps and supports, are the one who carries us in the good works that we are to be walking in. We pray, Lord, that you would help us by your Spirit, that the truth that we know from your word, that we have been hearing and singing and praying all day today, that you would make us to remember it, that we would be like you, O God, who never forget, but when you come to do a particular action, you remember one of your people, or you remember the promise that you have sworn, the promise that you have made. Make us, O God, to be a people who act upon truth in a timely manner. Make us those who remember. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.